It seems as if we are in a time right now where the world has gone crazy, yes? Yes, with random acts of terror and an unstable global economy and racial tensions still going on and controversial politicians and political platforms. And in addition to that, a media that seems to have an insatiable appetite for the drama and the worst things that are going on and that which is negative or that which creates angst and fear in people seem to be the only thing they really want to focus on. But you know what? I don't think that what is going on in the world today is any worse than it has been. I mean, if I look back at history and look, say, even at World War II, that is much worse things going on than what's going on right now. I think it's just that with technology, we are so bombarded with what is going on. I think in the not too distant past, it would have taken us weeks, if not months, to get the pieces of information that we are getting every single day. And not just do we get them every single day, but we get them numerous times from numerous avenues, the same dramatic news, so we feel really bombarded by what's going on. And so today I wrote this talk for me and for you because it seems really, really easy to get into fear when the things that are going on in the world contradict our own personal values. I value, and I think we value, peace and equality. We value stability and economic security for everybody. We value honesty and integrity. And so when the world is not reflecting back to us those particular things, it can feel very disconcerting, and it can make us anxious, and it can make us afraid, and it can even make us feel hateful towards the people that we deem responsible for those things that are going on in the world. Abraham Hicks says, "We are all so focused on what we don't want, so we continue to get more of what we don't want." Because you know what? We live in this law of correspondence. And that means that what happens in the world manifests as a result of our consciousness. It's a reflection of what we hold in mind. That's what that means, the law of correspondence. That what manifests in the world is what we hold in our minds. And so that means then out there, what's going on in the world is a reflection of the collective consciousness of humanity on this planet at this moment. It means that what's going on out there is a reflection of the shadow of humanity. And you know what it also means? That what's going on out there is a reflection of our consciousness in this room. And it is a reflection of our shadow, all of us in this room. Because, and that means that shadow side is that part of us that we deny, that we hide, that we don't want to own, that we don't want to acknowledge. But if I say that I want peace in the world, if I say that I want fairness and equality and safety for everyone and integrity in our leadership, we must dissolve and clear up the places within ourselves where we do not have integrity, the places within ourselves where we are hurtful, the places within ourselves where we act in ways that are not fair or where we do not treat other people or ourselves as equals. We have to clear up the places in ourselves that does not exemplify those qualities that we want of fairness and justice and equality and love and care and all those things. So that means then we have to dissolve the places where we hold ourselves or other people as less valuable than we are, or the places in ourselves where we hold other people in judgment. It means we have to examine those thoughts and the beliefs that cause us to be in fear, that cause us to lash out in ways that are not kind. It means that we have to heal the places within ourselves where we feel separate from life, or separate from each other, or separate from the good of the universe, because that's what causes us to lash out. When we feel separate from that infinite source of good that is the maintainer and sustainer of our very life, when we feel separate from that, that's the only reason there's something to fear out there. When we're anchored in that presence, there's nothing to fear out there. We know that our needs are met. We know that good is happening in our lives. So we have to also look at the places inside of ourselves where we are out of integrity, where what we say and do and think are not in alignment with each other, or what we do and what we say is not in alignment with our own personal values, or where what we say and do is not in alignment with our spirit, because that's the core essence of our values and where we're coming from. So, for example, if I say that peace is important to me, and then I come home from work and yell at my spouse, I need to look at that. What is causing me to do that? And I need to heal that thing that's causing me to come home and yell. If I say that I value equality, but then I go out in the world and I see the homeless person as less valuable than me, or a person of some other ethnicity, or other sexual orientation, or other gender as less valuable or important than I am, I have to look at that. And I have to resolve that inside of myself if I want it to change out there. So if I say one thing and then do another thing that doesn't match up, how can I expect our leaders to be in integrity? How can I expect our political leaders to act out of integrity if I'm not acting out of integrity? You know, there's a story, and you probably heard it, but it's just so appropriate here. It says, there is an old Cherokee who is teaching his grandson about life. He says, a fight is going inside of me, he says to the boy. A fight is going on inside of me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, the other wolf, he is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. That same fight is going on inside of you, he tells the boy. It's going on inside of every other person also. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, well, which wolf will win? And the old Cherokee simply replied, the one that you feed. We have to starve those parts of ourselves that come out of anger and resentment and fear and otherness and separation and the things that are creating the angst and the ill in this world. The title of my talk today is Start Here, and I'm talking about starting here. The necessity to start with ourselves to create change outside in the world out there. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, all things work for good. Even that which we call evil is salutary, leading us to the way, the truth, and the life. All things work for good. Even that which we call evil is useful, valuable, constructive, leading us to the way, the truth, and the life. Everything is leading us to discover the divine within ourselves. Everything contains within it the opportunity to discover who we really are inside of here, to discover our spirit, to discover that higher self, to discover our own essence, and to embody spirit. and to bring spirit into the world as ourselves, to be that presence in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions. Everything is an invitation to do that. The nature of God is always toward greater self-expression, and life is ever evolving, and this is the catalyst to create that evolution and that change and spirit expressing itself in a bigger way. I took an online class this week with Deepak Chopra, and one of the things that he said in the class is, we need to be challenged in life in order to awaken. This is awakening us. This stuff that I want to put my foot down and say, damn it, this is not okay, that's the stuff that's awakening us to be what we want to see in the world. He says facing challenges is the thing that creates the change. So I think the things that are going on in the world right now are a twofold call. I think one part of that call is to heal within ourselves the fear that we have, to heal within ourselves those places where we feel hatred that are really born out of the fear. That's where they come from in the first place. To heal our sense of separation from spirit and from life and from each other. They are here calling us to heal the parts inside of ourselves where we are dishonest, where we are dishonorable, where we lack virtue. If that's what we see, it's a call to heal that inside of ourselves. And the second part of that call is to create within ourselves that anchor of peace. That thing that David read about this morning, that peace that you don't bring in from the outside, but that peace that you discover at the core of our being, that you allow to come forward and to fill you and to come forward in your life. Discover that presence that's in the silence, that peace, that principle and that presence that is beingness itself and the peace that always lives inside of you. Because that place, going to that place, that's where you heal that thought and belief in separation in the first place. That's where you heal the anger and the resentment and the fear when you discover that presence inside of you. That's exactly the thing that will cause the healing, and that's exactly the thing that needs to happen. Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem at the same level of consciousness where the problem was created. We cannot solve the problems of the world when we come from a consciousness of fear. That's where the problems came from in the first place. We can't heal the problems of the world when we come from a consciousness of separation. That's where the problems came from in the first place. We can't solve the problems of the world when we come from hatred. That is what has caused the problems to begin with. Like the wolf, we have to starve those things and feed the love and the care and the unity and the compassion and the oneness and all those qualities that we want to see in the world. We have to water those seeds inside of us and grow those. And so the science of mind teaches that every condition responds to mental action. Every condition in the world responds to a change in consciousness. When we change the content of our thoughts and our feelings, we change what's going on around us because it's all one. We're all connected. We're all part of the whole. When we come from peace and unity, life and people respond differently to us than when we come from fear and anger and resentment and judgment. Have you noticed that in your life? When your mood affects how you respond and how people respond to you and what's going on around you, the change in consciousness creates a change around us. Science of Mind also teaches that God can do for us only what God can do through us. So we create the channel for peace. We create the channel for love and for wholeness and for harmony and for good to come into the world through us. And what we do influences the people that are around us also. So we create that channel by being open to it. We create that channel of good and of love and of peace by inviting it forward in ourselves, by intending it, by embodying peace, and by dissolving that which is unlike peace. You know, we all have that shadow stuff inside of us. Every single one of us. I don't care how evolved you are, we still have places that we can heal inside of ourselves. Because we have history. Because we have human beliefs in being separate from everybody else. So we all have places that we can heal within us. The problem is, though, is we think the problem's out there. It is out there. And it is also in here. And until we change what's in here, out there isn't going to change. We can't fix it out there because we just continue to create the same stuff because we're the same inside here. So we have to heal this in here. Gandhi said, each one of us has to find peace from within. Just like David said this morning. Each one of us has to find peace from within, and peace to be real must be unaffected by outside circumstances. We discover the peace in here and then bring it into the world, not wait for the world to be peaceful outside of there, outside of us. And so I have a story that says, there once was a king who offered a prize to the artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried. The king looked at all of the pictures, but there were really two that he liked better than the rest of them, so he was going to have to choose between the two of those. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror. Peaceful, towering mountains were all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw this picture thought it was the perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains also, but these were rugged and bare. Above was a turbulent sky with rain and lightning. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a raging waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closer, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. There, in the midst of angry water, sat the mother bird on her nest. Perfect peace. So which picture do you think the king chose? The king chose the second picture. Because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, no trouble, no hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all of those things and still be calm in your heart. That is the real meaning of peace. That's why it's so important to create that anchor of peace within ourselves and to grow that and to water those seeds so that we can anchor into peace even when people are being stupid out there. So we discover that peace inside of ourselves, and then we grow it by giving it our attention. We grow that peace and get anchored in that peace by doing whatever enables us to experience that which is beyond duality, that which is beyond this world of form. Whatever allows us to discover that which is beyond this physical world and beyond duality, beyond right and wrong, black and white, up and down, in and out, where there's only one undifferentiated infinite beingness. There, all is well. There is perfect peace. There is perfect stillness. That's what we have to discover. And that's what we have to anchor into so we can take that with us. When we discover that within us, we discover our own essence. We discover our self, the self with a capital S that is eternal and changeless and untouched by the world. We discover oneness and peace and harmony in that place. The seas may be rough, and you see rough seas with waves, but when you go deep down in the ocean, it's perfectly still. We are called to discover and grow that place that is perfectly still within us. So my invitation to you this week is to do anything that allows you to discover yourself, that allows you to discover your essence, that allows you to discover that which is stillness. Whether that's yoga or tai chi or chanting or breathing or meditating, whatever it is that allows you to discover that, to do that to help you find that anchor inside of yourself. To also heal the places inside of yourself where you feel anger, where you feel resentment. Try on instead compassion. If you are angry at a person and you try on compassion instead, it will shift your perspective. Or just try on another perspective. Look through someone else's eyes at that situation and see what it looks like. It will shift the anger inside of you. Because when we're angry, we can't be productive from that place. It keeps us stuck in a place of anger. We have to move beyond it to find creative solutions, to find that wisdom and that intelligence and that guidance that lives inside of us. Meditate. Go to that place of stillness, and when you're there, ask yourself, what do I want? Repeat that after me. What do I want? What do I want? To ask that stillness, and you're going to get an answer that's different from the part of you that's angry. Because my guess is when you ask that still place inside of you, what do I want, you're going to come up with an answer like peace or love or connection or something like that. That's going to be a different motivator. Go to that place of quiet and ask yourself, what is this calling me to? Say that after me. What is this calling me to? And listen to the answer. This is part of your spiritual evolution here. This is a catalyst for your spiritual evolution. To ask yourself, what is this calling me to be? Say that with me. What is this calling me to be? And to listen. Let that be your motivator for moving out into the world. Do that. Whatever the answer is that you get. So start here. From here, we make a difference in the world. Start here and see if your experience is not different, because I assure you it will be. The result is that you will be being the change that we wish to see in the world. You will be tilting the scales towards the peace that we long to experience. You will be doing what you've come here as a spiritual being incarnated in a human body has come here to do, to be the presence. And so blessings to every one of you on this path of awakening and giving way to your spirit and creating the world that we all want to live in. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. And so how good it is to be called to this place of remembering, to this place of prayer and this place of communion, because how often I forget, how often we all forget that this omnipresence of that infinite love and good and wisdom and order and intelligence and peace is ever present. That it is right here at the very center of our being all of the time. And that all we need to do is turn to it and give it our attention and get quiet and quit telling ourselves the story of what is wrong to discover that which is peace, that which is love, that which is good, that which is oneness. And so it's as we turn to that we discover it and give it life so that it comes forward into our experience, blessing every single thing that we do. I know that it comes forward in this moment and acts as that which leads and guides us on this path of unfolding. This path that we are walking of the Spirit, bringing good and greater good, bringing God into this world through each of us. And so I know that every single one of us, that our paths are already blessed. That Spirit goes with us at every moment, in everything we do, in every decision, in every choice, in every word that we speak. It is all the activity of Spirit unfolding through us as good and greater good. And so I speak this word not just about us, but I speak this word right now about every single policymaker and decision maker and politician in this world, that I know there is something happening right now that is different. That Spirit right now is unfolding itself through their minds and through their thinking and through their words and through their decisions and choices right now. That evolution is happening on this planet, an evolution of love and an evolution of peace and an evolution of goodness, not just through them, but through every single person on this planet. That God is having its way in this world right now because this world is God manifest. And so God is having a party with itself as us, a party of love and of connection and of goodness. And I look around, and that is what I call forward, and that is what I see, and that is what is the truth. And so today, we just rest in this truth, that there is only one, the invisible as the visible. And as we see it, it becomes the felt experience. And so we feel it, and we see it, and we know it, and we place our trust and faith and confidence in this. And so I say thank you, God, for this knowing and for this truth and for this reality that is unfolding itself right now. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into that infinite law that always says yes. And so with confidence, I let it go and I let it be. And so it is. Amen.